which is Se'if Yudches, Zman Tzitzis.
Zman Berachas Tzitzis?
Bracha itself is not a time-bound problem, but if you have Zman Tzitzis as to when one has to put on Tzitzis, that is a different story. Now, Shulchan Aruch, you know, when the Shulchan Aruch wrote, the Shulchan Aruch used three main sources. The first was the Rif, Rav Yitzchak Alfasi, who was a Tosek, lived the end of the period of the Gaon, like same time as Rashi. Number one. Number two was the Rambam, and also the Rosh. When two agreed and one disagreed, then the Shulchan Aruch usually followed one. You know, which is obvious. There are times, however, when if some of these three abstain, so he would look elsewhere for halakhic authority, like the Ramban or the Rashi. Now here we have a very well-known machlokes between the Rambam and the Rosh as to the nature of tzitzis. Is it a mitzvah that is time-bound, or is it not a mitzvah that is time-bound? It is not the Rambam and Rosh who devised this machlokes, but this is already a machlokes that exists between Talmud Bavli and Talmud Yerushalmi. There are two different attitudes. Let's see what the Shulchan Aruch says. Laila lav zman tzitzis. Nighttime is not the time for tzitzis. The amit mir isem also, because we deduce this from the words in Parshas Tzitzis ure isem also, uzachartem es kol mitzvos Hashem vashisem also. Reisem also, the words itself mean when you see it, and obviously you can only see in the Torah scheme of thought, Reisem also has to be by day. Using this principle, Shulchan Aruch says, La Rambam, according to the Rambam, his understanding of the Gemara is Kol ma shelavesh balayla is patur. Anything that you wear at night is exempt from tzitzis, is patur from tzitzis, afilu hu miyuchad layom, even though it is specifically a beged that is miyuchad, that is designated for the day. As long as you're wearing it at night, that's it. Umash lavesh bayom, anything that you wear during the day is chayav, is required to have tzitzis, afilu miyuchad lalayla, even though it is something that you would normally wear only at night. So the Rambam ties tzitzis into ur isem also as a time bound mitzvah. That tzitzis is a time bound mitzvah. Uvela Rosh, according to Rabbeinu Osher, he feels that the entire situation with tzitzis is different, because rather than focusing on the time as derived from ur isem also, you have to focus on another element. La Rosh, ksus hamiyuchad lalayla is potter. Not the time, but the beged, ksus, that which covers you. Ksus hamiyuchad lalayla. A beged that is specifically used for nighttime is potter. Afilo lo shel bayom, even if he goes ahead and he wears it during the day. Ukisus hamiyuchad layom vilalayla, and the Rosh continues, a beged that can be used both day and night, is chayav, is required to have tzitzis afilu lov shabalayla. Even if you go ahead and wear it during the nighttime. And this is a classical machlokes. Now, is there a way to bridge the machlokes? No. They use, as I say, they use two different sugyas. One is the sugya in Gemara, Bavli, and the other is the sugya in Yerushalmi. And there is another pasuk aside from Ura Isem also, and that is the famous pasuk Gidilim Ta'aselecha. You will make yourself tzitzis al tanfos kisuscha asher techaseba, on the corners of your beged that you will make. Okay. It has absolutely nothing to do with time. So you see, if you consult the second time that tzitzis are mentioned in Chumash, in Parshas Devarim Perek Chof Beis, it's in Parshas Kisetze, which is Devarim Perek Chof Beis, Gidilim Ta'aselecha, fringes shall you make for yourself, Al Arba Tanfos Kisuscha, on the four corners of your kisus, your beged, your garment, asher techaseba, which you will cover yourself with.
Where's the first time?
It is the matter of Parsha Shelach, which is Bamidbar, and the other pasuk is Bamidbar, should be Perek Yudalet of Tesvah, probably Tesvah, yeah, I'm sorry. Okay, Daber al Bnei Yisrael, pasuk Lamed Ches, Daber al Bnei Yisrael, V'yamato aleihem, V'yosula and Tzitzis, al kanfei bigdehem, make tzitzis on the corners of your begodim, V'dor olzom, V'nosnu al tzitzis, Hakonof tzil techeles, and you will also put into the tzitzis that you put on the fringes, one tzil, one fringe that will be blue, that will be techeles, V'yolachem the tzitzis, and these tzitzis will be ur'isem also, so that you'll be able to see it who's a heart and is coming to Hashem.
This looks like Fatu Klal.
Possibly, yeah.
Here we've got a specific case, and there in Vorm we've got a general case.
Okay. You can't always go ahead and generalize that way, because especially when the Gemara itself identifies what the Fatu Klal is, and the Gemara doesn't discuss it that way, doesn't do it that way. There are other things, and we'll see it. I hope we'll be able to uncover that. Now, before we leave the Kiseitze, the Gedilim Ta'aselecha, just a parenthetical statement of what a remes can do, some kind of hint within the psukim. When two inyonim are put together, one next to another, that are seemingly disparate and have absolutely nothing to do with one another, it is totally legitimate from the times of Gemara on to be able to try to learn a din or extract some kind of connection between the two. If you go to one pasuk before, one pasuk after, ki yikach ish isha ubo oleho usneho. Right after the one pasuk section about tzitzis, you have ki yikach ish isha, which is kiddushin, which is marriage. There are those who learn from this.
The only word tzitzis in your marriage.
Not tzitzis. This is the minhag of the big palace, according to some. But remember, it's only an asmachta. It's only a remez. Although we will get to see it in its original, and you'll see already that what the issues are. But just remember that, remember the pasuk, so that we can draw on it. So here you have two different approaches, two different psukim, and we'll see how each of the gemaras extract from these psukim what they want. But basically, from both of these gemaras, the Yerushalmi and the Bavli, we have the Rambam and the Rosh taking sides with each other. What do we emphasize? Is it a time-bound matter, or do we focus specifically on ksus, on the kind of beged that you are wearing, and that is the determinant. And once you have that, you arrive at a very difficult situation. You have a machlokas aposkim between the Rambam and the Rosh, which impacts in a very direct way on what do you do with a bracha of tzitzis when at least, according to one of the poskim, you are going to put on tzitzis at a time when you don't have to put on tzitzis. Mm. Well, if you put on tzitzis at a time when you don't have to put on tzitzis, according to one of them, then you should not say a bracha. Okay. And especially bracha becomes problematic because a bracha levatola may be a da'oraisa.
So we
suffer bracha as well. Okay. Okay. And we learn here, for the first time in Shulchan Aruch, we learn the klal. At least I'm talking about chronologically in Shulchan Aruch, where he quotes for the first time, and this is the Ramah, Hagah. The Ramah continues and says, V'sofik brachas lahakeh. Remember the klal, that whenever there is a sofik about saying a bracha or not saying a bracha, resulting from some sofik, then here it's because of a machlokas aposkim, and as far as the bracha is concerned, is lahakeh. You go lekula and you don't say the bracha.
So if you get up at night,
mm-hmm.
Okay, you get dressed, put arba kamsos on, you don't say a bracha.
You don't say a bracha, but as to why you don't say a bracha, you'll have to wait until we get to the end of the simon.
All right.
Okay? Now, sofa brachas lahakel. Al kein, ein levarech alav. Therefore, Ein levarech alav, you don't go ahead and make a bracha on tzitzis elo kishelovesh bayom, when you have a beged that you're going to wear during the day, v'hu miyuchad gam kein liyom. And for sure, you know that this is a daytime kind of a beged, specifically for the daytime and not for the nighttime. Okay? Ya'achar tfilas arvis. And if you were to put something on after maharit, meaning after tzeitzat tachonin, Afal pisha dayin yomu. If you davened an early ma'arif, afal pisha dayin yom, and it's still yom, is ein levarech alav. Here you have, again, the suffix of time. What is it? It's after ma'arif, which is a legal night time. But you may have davened a ma'arif that is early, right after Mincha, which is a factual day. In fact, the day is still Uri Isim, so you can see by the light of day. Therefore, you have a suffix bracha, the aim of Arech Alav. Don't make the bracha. As a result of this, says the Ramah, Ubelel Yom HaKippurim. When you come to Shul and Kol Nidre, now you understand the halacha is Yisatef Ba'od Yom, that he should put on his talus when it is still day, the Yavarech Alav, and then he should say a bracha, because there is no suffix already. It is not night, it is before Shkia. You start before Shkia, and Bedakya, you should be able to put on your talus and make a bracha at that point. All right? Now, let's go to the Mishnah Berurah on Sifat. You will recall that the Rambam said that anything you wear at night is potter from tzitzis. Anything you wear during the day needs tzitzis. Here's an interesting side comment that the Taz brings in the Mishnah Berurah quotes. Umikol makom, in any event, mutar latzeis lirshus harabim belel Shabbos betalis ima tzitzis. If you go ahead and you're wearing a talis on Friday night, Leil Shabbos, in tzitzis and has tzitzis, should you be wearing it then or not? Does it serve a mitzvah function according to the Rambam? Well, it doesn't serve a mitzvah function, and therefore you don't make a bracha, you're not chayav in it. But if you're going out in Rishus HaRabim and you're wearing a talis, are you violating the Indian of Hotzal of Rishus and Lirishus? Says the Mishnah Berurah, quoting the Taz, V'lo have masui, you cannot consider this carrying, right? Sheheinoi habeged v'tachshitel. Because the tzitzis are nothing more
than
part of a beged, and we, even though, you see, but if you're not allowed to carry from Rishus to Rishus, then you shouldn't be wearing a beged.
No, why not?
Why not?
A beged is a beged.
Yeah, a beged is a beged.
And you wear a beged.
Okay.
The fact, whether or not the beged needs tzitzis is irrelevant to the fact of whether or not you're wearing a beged.
Not entirely so.
Suppose you're not wearing a towel. Suppose you're wearing, you know, stama shirt that has four corners on it.
All right, let me give you a suppose. Suppose at night you are wearing sunglasses, and the sun is not shining. According to some poskim, in Hilchos Shabbos, they will say that because it is Shabbos, and because you don't need it on you, and it does not serve a function, that you're over in Hotzom Yishus L'Rishus. Now, according to the Rambam here, this is what the Taz wants to say, that Laila loves man tzitzisu. What do you need a beged with tzitzis for? And if you're going out in Rishus HaRabim, can we hold you culpable? Can we hold you chayah for going ahead and taking
and
carrying it?
What are we going to tell us then?
What do you want to talk about?
Arba Kalfos, you're wearing it anyhow. It's the same difference.
Back off from the Arba Kalfos for a minute.
But it's the same difference.
Well, even...
Okay, that's it.
Then maybe you shouldn't go ahead and wear avocampos, because that'll make you happier.
So what happens? You go to shul early.
Yeah.
Then you have a real problem. You go to shul
early.
So look.
The fact of the matter is that you're arguing correctly, and this is the way the Taz figures it out. This, because lo having masi, you cannot argue and say that this is a foreign object to you that you're carrying, but rather sheheinoi habeged b'tachshitel. This is no different than an accessory that you would wear, which is not a beged, let's say, what do you call it, cufflinks. Okay? Because I'm not going to detach it from the beged. It is part of the beged. And were I wearing this beged during the day, it would be considered incomplete without its accessory called the tzitzis over here. But you have to understand that you can argue that there is no mitzvah to use it at that time, meaning it serves no function whatsoever on you, then I can ask the Shiloh, can you go ahead and carry it, so to speak, in quotes, carry it on you when tzitzis, according to the Rambam, has absolutely no function on Friday night?
Suppose it's your coat.
But a coat will have a function at all times. You'll need it, let's say, because it's cold.
Yeah.
All right, so I don't care that you have tzitzis
on. You talk to keep you warm.
Okay, this is certainly good. Then it's certainly good.
What about Dvar Mitzvah? Isn't that in itself a function?
There is no Dvar Mitzvah, according to the Rambam on Friday night, in wearing tzitzis. That's his point. The Zman for tzitzis doesn't exist. That is the perspective of the Rambam. Okay?
All right.
Let's go further. Beis. Remember the Ramo said, Safek brachos lahakel. Whenever we have a Safek and a bracha, we always go lekula. We take the less stringent opinion. Hainu dafka l'inyam bracha. This is something that is a problem of bracha. Because bracha has a shein yutke vokke, Hashem elokeinu, and it's shein shemayim levatola. But also nilbosh tzus shalayla bayom balotzitzis. You're not allowed to go ahead and wear a nighttime beged, specifically a nighttime beged, but you have a function for it bayom below tzitzis, unless it has tzitzis. In the same way, tzus shel yom balaylo mishun sofek. You've got to get out of the sofek. You have two inyanim sfekas here. You have number one, the sofek of bracha, and number two, you have the sofek of whether the beged needs tzitzis. Umikomakom, based on this, says the Mishnah Berurah, Nira da Hashat Halavesh Talis Balayla, you have to extend this. If we hold that at night time tzitzis is not a mitzvah, then we have to do something with the Meirav Talis that a Shlich Tzibur wears. Mikomakom Nira da Hashat Halavesh Talis Balayla, ain't Tzarech Libdok HaTzitzis. You don't have to go ahead like you do during the daytime and what? And inspect the tzitzis to see whether all of the tzitzis are there for a bracha. Bevadai nuchal lismok al cheskasan Shemi Kivar. Because since the nighttime is Lavzman Tzitzis, and the Shach is not wearing the talis for what? For the Kiyam of the Mitzvah Tzitzis, for observing Tzitzis, but rather it's for a different reason. So you don't have to go ahead and worry that all the Tzitzis are there, because there is no bracha over here at nighttime. It is only the uniform of Kovet HaTzibur.
So you can wear a talis without Tzitzis.
Huh?
You can wear a talis without no Tzitzis.
Technically speaking, yes. All right? I'm not advocating that. I'm not advocating that. All right, continues the Mishnah Berurah. You remember that the Ramah said that you don't make a bracha only. You make a bracha only when you wear a daytime thing that is miyuchad layom, that is specifically for a daytime that is considered a daytime garment. Gam kein layom. In other words, Perush, she says gam layom. The kosher came leyom levado. He does nothing more than clarify what we have said before. Now, as far as wearing tzitzis after Ma'ariv when Ma'ariv is done early, when you wear tzitzis after tfilas arvis, even though it's a dayin yom,
putting them on after.
Ubetan is tzibur. Kishaloshin talis pemincha. Intan is tzibur. According to those minhogim, when you wear a talis pemincha, yasiras a talis, says the Mishnah Berurah, kishayagia lebarchu. Take off your talis when you reach barchu. Meachar, since the achshav ein loshin hatalis elo lemitzvas tzitzis. You don't go ahead and wear a talis at this point, only for the mitzvah tzitzis. Im yihyeh olav, yireh ke'ilu sover delilah zman tzitzis. That if he would wear it straight through to barchu, like on Tisha B'av, then you would be kind of showing that you hold that lila is a time for tzitzis. So therefore it should come off before barchu. But that is the individual. Mikol makom, hashatz, shliach tzibur lifnei ha'omud, im ein holech b'malbush elyon, if he doesn't have his jacket, she'ein kavod ha'tzibur b'kach, and therefore it would not be to the honor of the tzibur for him to daven that way, pshita delo yasir ha'talis me'olov. It is obvious that he shouldn't go ahead and take off his talis and leave it on. Because the reason that the Shliach Tzibur is wearing the talis when it is nighttime is not to show that Laila is man tzitzis, but rather to show that he is wearing it because of Kovet HaTzibur. There are some implications over here that you have to realize. Okay. Here is where the predominant minhag comes, that if you are properly dressed, that the Shliach Tzibur doesn't need a talis. The yeshivas didn't feel this way. The yeshivas felt, and this derives in the last two centuries primarily from the Lithuanian yeshivas. The yeshivas felt that the talis, the talis godol, serves a priority function aside from tzitzis, and that is that it is the uniform for davening. Because if you take a look at the Rambam and in the Shulchan Aruch as to what the prerequisites of tefillah are, such as kavana, and such as having a proper makom, etc., and so forth, that one of the prerequisites of tefillah is ksus, is a proper dress. Ksus amyuchad tefillah, a special dress. Well, what better special dress could you have other than the big talis?
So why shouldn't everybody wear one?
Because everyone would already mistake for that. You would run the risk, and that's exactly what the Mishnah Berurah says, you would run the risk of everyone kind of showing that tzitzis, lila is man tzitzis. Not so the shatz. The Kovet HaTzibur, the Shliach Tzibur, has to have a kind of standard that takes into consideration all of these necessities, or the extra necessities of the way he is dressed. B'leil Yom Kippurim, on Yom Kippur, you put on the talus before Shkia. Hey, says the Mishnah Berurah, v'chol ha'over lifnei ha'teva tzarech l'satev. Anyone who stands in front of the bima has got to put on a talis. Uvelach metoda, sefer lach metoda kosav, da'acho omer kadish yosom lifnei ha'teva. And this has nothing really to do with Yom Kippur. Anyone who comes before the tzibur, even if it's only da'afa omer kadish yosom mitnei ateva, even if it was only to say kadish, is yisateif mitnei kovod atzibur ve'ein mevarech alav. Why do we wear a talis when?
On Yom Kippur. Where are Yom Kippur after
Baruch? Oh, then.
You just said, after Chinese, when you borrow, you take off the borrow.
Okay.
Yeah, I can understand for Kalmidrash, but then it's still during the day, you can wear it.
Good. The Sfarim bring that Leil Yom Kippur, you have to be in total uniform, because Yom Kippur is the one day when, so to speak, the Yetzer Hara does not function. It is the highest day of Ahava, and the Ur'isem also Uzechartem is not the issue. The issue is Gedilim Ta'as Elecha. You've got to make tzitzis ki yikach ish isha, and you've got to wear your talis because of this new wedding of tshuva, this new honeymoon between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Bnei Yisrael.
So why do people who generate is not to wear a talis until they're married, not wear one?
You're talking about
single men.
On Yom Kippur. Because basically, you've got to understand that no one owned a talis before they were married, until this generation in America. There was no such thing as coming to a shul and having a talis. Alright?
Mm-hmm.
Practically speaking, the same way that every individual provided his pants, and his shirt and his jacket, every individual provided his own talis.
You're saying they confuse the minhag with financial difficulties?
I won't allow you to use such terminology. The realities are different here. The reality is that you worry about the suit that you wear when you come to shul. So too you worry about your talis. There never was a time that I can identify in the history of Klal Yisrael that when you came to shul there was a talis rack or a talis box, a yarmulke box, and even a siddur box or a siddur shelf. These were personal things. Do we have glasses in shul? Do we have a rack for glasses? We don't. This is a personal thing. This business of supplying a talis for any worshiper who comes into shul is American suburbia of the last 25 or 30 or 40 years. That's all it is. And its weight is not from orthodoxy. Its weight is from conservative reform. Oh yes, we've had benefit from it, because when we didn't have a rubin and people did not come to shul, so a guest always had a talis. And not only a guest, but if you didn't bring your talis to shul, Erev Shabbos, at least you came Shabbos morning, you had a talis. But I'm telling you clearly that its true weight, its center of gravity, is when people stopped buying talisim. They didn't have their own talis. And if they had their own talis, you know which one the only talis was they had? Their little bar mitzvah scarf. So that's why shul started to install talisim and talisim racks. This is the way it was, and the same thing for yarmulkes. This is not the issue here. The issue here is that you come Yom Kippur, you come with your talis, you put it on. If according to this other minhag of gedilim ta'as elecha pi yikach ish isha, it speaks about the same way that you don't have pants, or you don't have a shrimal until you're married, or whatever it is. You don't have a talis until you're married. Finish, you don't wear.
Oh, but you took the pasuk from the Chumash too, and said you don't wear a talis until you're married. You inferred it would make.
I didn't infer. There are those who infer that you don't wear it until you're married. Yeah, but here.
But you're saying
no. But what he's asking is based on why I. based on the explanation that I give, and again, it's primarily our Pi Kabbalah, that there is reason to wear the talus after Baruch Hu at night. There's reason to have a talus on all of Yom Kippur, so to speak, because it is the uniform of Ahava. Okay? Then everyone should go ahead and wear talisim. All right, I hear you, what you're saying. It's good. But I can't carry the analogy that far. I cannot do it. Because people didn't have talisim.
But today, should single people wear talisim on Shabbos morning?
You asking my opinion?
Yeah. Is there a halacha here, or just a minhag?
It's a minhag, because there are German hugging where people do wear it. The Germans wear it.
Not only the Germans, but the Sfaradim do it. You know, Sfaradim Tahorim. Just a moment of a personal reflection. Daniel, as a youngster, always kind of stepped and marched to a different drummer. So he asked me at the bar mitzvah time if I want him to wear a talis. I said, my opinion is today, because there is no economic factor, and I will show you Chafetz Chaim himself in the Mishnah Berurah, where he doesn't understand why it should be postponed. Okay, he understands the drash over there, and asmacht and so on. So he doesn't understand why youngsters shouldn't wear a talis. So I said to him, you want to get a talis? Let's get a talis. So I bought him for his bar mitzvah, his own talis. But it was big enough that he should be able to wear it for the rest of his life, with a talis bag and so on. He started to wear it. No questions about it. He started to wear it. Brought it to the yeshiva and started to wear it. And they stared him down probably within 2 weeks. And he never again wore that talis. As a matter of fact, we don't even know what happened to it. We just don't know what happened to it. Talis bag is right over here. I have in the drawer, but that was it. There has been a almost a taboo-like reaction to the non-marrieds wearing talisim. I hear what you say, because remember in Kabbalah, the talis has very important kedusha elements when filtered through its sexual symbol. Have you been recently to a German chasana? To a chuppah? A German chuppah? Well, let me tell you how they do it in Breuers. Chasana and Kala go ahead and walk down the aisle as anyone would. They stand under a chuppah. The chuppah represents the roof over your head. Okay? Well, sometimes the talus and sometimes not the talus. But whether you have a talus for the chuppah or not, in addition to a kittel, they take and they put a talis on the shoulders of the chosen. That's at the beginning. Then after Harayat Mekudeshes and after the Ksuba, where he is now legally a Baal and she is an Isha, she is his wife, they take and they stretch the very talis of the chosen over the shoulders of the chosen and the kala together.
I've seen that.
Okay?
I've seen it.
There are sexual connotations over there. Now, this is to come to tell us that now they can share one ksus, one blanket. And it is al pi halacha, because he said hareyat mekudeshes, that's kiddushin, and he wrote her a ksuba, and it was attested to, you had witnesses, and now and only now is he capable of going ahead and having sexual relations with her. Now, there's no question in Kabbalah, and I will show this to you, Kabbalah, the sexual relations are the highest form of Kedusha that can exist. And that's why it is assigned a siman in Shulchan Aruch under Hilchos Shabbos. Now, can you understand? Well, I'll ask you to open up. I'll show you. Now can you understand why there is an almost taboo-like avoidance of non-marrieds wearing talasim? Because it is such a prominent symbol within the chuppah.
So it's more than an economic motive.
There are other aspects other than the simple economic motive.
Which brings the explanation, because exactly the group that makes the talis such a strong sexual symbol during the chuppah is the one where they wear it at the
bar. Okay, I hear what you're saying.
That's true. That's a good right. point.
Yeah.
Okay, and exactly that group that makes it such a strong symbol.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. But nonetheless, this is the way it is. Yeah. We call it, we're getting our signals mixed up, possibly. But that's the way it is. Now, you asked me to say more about Friday night. Friday night, the assignment of Kedusha.
The statement.
Yeah.
The highest form of Kedusha.
Yeah. Is sexual union. Okay. Now, that has absolutely nothing to do with Zman. You want to do that on the second side of the tape as a simple...
You can skip it now, but it's a critical point.
All right, as a footnote to this right. segment, we'll do it. Okay. We'll do it right here and now. We just have to change Mishnah Berurah. Okay? All right. Let's go back to our issues. Why do we wear the talis involved in the Mishnah Berurah? Why do we wear the talis in general on Yom Kippur? Yishatev, you put it on before Shkia on Erev Yom Kippur, lehidamos lamalachim, that we look like malachim, shemu'utafim levonim, who are enwrapped in white, at least the way they are described in Yecheskel and Nevi'im, v'lachem lo yasiru balayla ad achar tfilas arvis shel motzoi yom ha-kippurim. And therefore, you don't take off your talis until when? Until after Ma'ariv of motzoi yom kippurim, when for sure it is no longer Yom Kippur. Okay? We put it on ba'od yom, erev Yom Kippur, aval im ichar. If you came late to shul, lihisatev, adalaila, and it was already nighttime, and you had to put on the talis on Erev Yom Kippur. So remember the klal of Sofek Brachos L'Hochel, shuv lo yivarech. Don't say a bracha on Erev Yom Kippur if you're coming in late. D'shema halacha k'rambam. Maybe the halacha is truly like the Rambam, who determines that the zman is what is the critical factor. If you look in the original Shulchan Aruch in the Amogen Avram, in Seif Koton, in footnote Dalit, da'afidu ben ha-shmoshos, that if you are ben ha-shmoshos, you know, Sofek Yom, Sofek Laila, is muta levorech ad seisa kochovim. You can go ahead, even though it's after Shkia, you can go ahead and say the bracha ad seisa kochovim. V'ta'amo, reason being, da'alo betzitzis lo ksiv yom. Remember, says the Mogen Avraham, that after all is said and done, if you look in Parashat Tzitzis, it doesn't say the word Yom. It says, Rak ureisem also, you shall see it, which is a circumlocution.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now you can see after Shkia also, because there's still some light.
We have candlelight?
No, we're talking about natural light. Ureisem also, natural light. Is mashma, from this we learn, not that it has to be Yom, says the Mogen Avraham, that kol zman shenuchal liros, as long as we have the ability to see, then we can go ahead and say the bracha because it is ureishem also, even though it is not a technical yom. It's after Shkia and it's the next day already.
And what about the night of the full moon?
Huh?
What about the
night
of the
full moon? Good, no, and what about when there are candles? Okay?
Yeah, so,
but don't you understand, this question is exactly what motivates the Rosh to say that we need other categories. That Yom and Laila and Ureisem also isn't the critical factor over here, and that's why the Chumash came with a different approach altogether to indicate that it's Ksus. Okay? V'chein posak ba'al derech ha'chaim. And likewise, the author of the Halachos on Siddur called Derech HaChaim, which is a vital, vital text that I want to familiarize you with. Rabbeinu Yaakov of Lisa, wrote a perish called Derech HaChayim, a massive Talmud Chacham, but he went ahead and wrote a perish that is reprinted in Siddurim now in very many ways. First, in its original, if you have the Otsar HaTfilos, this famous Vilna anthology of Perushim HaTfilos, and the entire Derech HaChayim is there. Mm-hmm. There are several editions, not only the Vilna edition, other editions, with the Perushim that have been added, like the Baal Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, added to the Derech HaChayim, and so on and so forth. But it is something that is, it is a Perush that is ignored, and we run to the Mishnah Berurah, but the Mishnah Berurah himself never budged without the Derech HaChayim, mm-hmm. at least when it comes to Tefillah. Now, when I say tefillah, I mean the whole cycle of tefillos, which means that he is loaded there with halachas about Yom Tov and so on and so forth. But his major impact is on tefillah, the Siddur Derech HaChayim. It is probably something that should now be translated.
When did he live?
Rabbi Yankov of Lisa wrote... ...160 years ago.
What country?
He was a Lithuanian. Oh. Okay. And in Mate Ephraim, which is another sefer on halachas only of Yomim Noroim and Sukkos. Also a standard work. Very often has machlokas with the Mishnah Berurah, because the Mate Ephraim wasn't a Litva. The Mishnah Berurah was a Litva. Mate Ephraim was more of a Galiciana. Is Ra'isi Shemachmir Bazeh. I see that he is Machmer over there. What does that mean? That you got to be careful with Shkia time. Ach.
Only the Machmer of Fire.
Yeah. But V'chein Posach Baal Derech HaChayim, meaning just like the Mogen Avrom. It goes ahead along with the Mogen Avrom. Ach im ze gufo hum istapeik. However, in Mat Ephraim, he runs the Sofek of in kvar higia bein hashmoshos, if it is already bein hashmoshos, nired bevadai yuchal levarech. He says, you know, maybe it is certain that you can say a bracha. The belav hochi das atosis for harosh iksus yom chayo balayla. All right, because even without this problem, you have another way of impacting and solving it. That tosis and the rosh hold entirely differently. What? That ksus yom is chaya balayla. Remember, a talis is ksus yom that you normally put on during the day. And even if you want to say that it's chaya balayla, even you want to say that the time bein hashmoshos is laila already, and there is no reason myself, but remember, you're wearing a ksus yom, so maybe you should say a bracha. The hagra, the beirav, if you look in Shulchan Aruch, the Gro goes ahead and mitzadei gam kein l'shita zo, and generally agrees this way that bein hashmoshos until tseis hakochavim, you can go ahead and say it, say the bracha, and you don't have to worry about safek brachos l'hakel, because of the reasoning of the Magen Avraham that you have only here ureisem masal and not yom that is mentioned. All right, let's go back to the Shulchan.
So also very early in the morning, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, obviously, we're going to see that. And we'll see that in Se'if Gimel. Halacha Beis in the Shulchan Aruch. Se'if Beis. Sadin, we use the word as sheets today. Sheets or quilts. Afal pi she'odam yashen bahem. Even though a person sleeps with a sadin, which is a blanket, and it comes baboker, it's boker time, he's still sleeping, is ein makilim bahem tzitzis. You don't go ahead and put tzitzis in there. Now, what would make us think that we would have to put tzitzis on? Because it's a covering that we have, but it's on us during the day.
Yeah.
It's covering us during the day. One would think that you have to go ahead and put in tzitzis.
What do you mean it's on us during the day? You mean
it's on us, it's on our body during the day. Okay? And it's four corners. So nonetheless, the Shulchan Aruch says you don't go ahead and put it in. So quickly, let's go down to the Mishnah Berurah. Simon Ches, or Seif Katan Ches, even though it's honest during the day, you don't put in tzitzis, mitnesha ikartash misham balayla, because its most important identification and the most important part of its use is balayla. And therefore, sus layla mikre. We call this a nighttime beged. Ach lefizeh, but according to this, lo hayo potu rak larosh. And remember the famous machlokes between the Rosh and the Rambam. The Shulchan Aruch allows you not to put tzitzis on, or tells you that you don't put tzitzis on sheets, bed sheets, and quilts. This is only according to the reasoning of the Rosh. Aval Rambam, but according to the Rambam, iksus laila chaya bayom is chaya. But it would seem that the Rambam would go ahead and want you to put tzitzis on there.
The only question is this really a beggar? And it's a suffix beged.
Wait a minute. Why do you want to say suffix beged?
It's not garment. It covers it.
Well, so you're filtering it through today's standards. But if you were to live in an ancient Spanish town, you wouldn't wear a serape?
Mm.
Or on an American Indian reservation, you wouldn't. I mean, what's there to talk about?
Yeah.
Only because of the style that we have today. But remember, tzitzis is a beged that has four corners and finish. Now, the Yeshamrim, there are some who advance Odtam, another reason liftor, that sadinim, that blankets and quilts and bed sheets don't need tzitzis. Mishum, and here's the reason. The lo chiyavah ha-Torah rak derech malbush. The only time the Torah asks us to put on tzitzis is what you're saying. Is derech malbush, the way we wear it on our bodies, o derech ituv, and the way we wrap ourselves. Lo derech ha'alo'o ba'alma, not just putting it on ourselves, and that's what we do with the quilt. But, as I just said before, the Yesh Chokim, there are those who refuse to accept that. It's a beged, and as long as you cover it, I don't care whether you cover it in a tapered way and in a shaped way around your body, or it just is on you like a sheet. Usvirale, and according to this, and if he will go ahead and spread out underneath it a beged of four corners, is chayav b'tzitzis. That technically, as long as it's spread out and you're using it for some purpose, that you would also need tzitzis. The kol shekein derech halo. And all the more you can understand if it's spread out underneath you, that if you put it on top of you, it serves as a covering function, that you would have to go ahead and wear tzitzis. Okay, therefore, Yichriya, Mogen Avram, the Mogen Avram gave you a very interesting mid-course to be able to solve all of the technical problems with Sadinim. He says, why don't you go ahead, the Aser Keren Achas Agula, go ahead on this Sadin and take one corner, instead of having it squared off, make it agula, make it rounded off. What happens then? You have a sadin with how many squared off corners now? Only three. And the rounded off corner doesn't allow you to say that you have al arba kanfos kisuscha, that you have four corners. If you do that, then you go ahead and make just completely erase any kind of suffix as to whether a sadin needs tzitzis. The Yetze Aliba de Kule Alma, and by doing this, you will be Yotze the mitzvah of not having to put tzitzis Aliba according to Kule Alma, according to every single person. Achein, however, Mashma mid Devarov, if you take a look at the Magen Avraham in this original, you will see the Ein La Hachmir Bezerak Pisadin Shel Tzemer. The only time that you have to go ahead and worry about the chumras of whether a bed cover, should have tzitzis, and therefore go ahead and round off one corner, is if the sadin, if the cover is shel tzemer, if it is made out of wool. Avalo b'shel pishton, not if it's made out of flax, o she'ar minim, or some other kind of substance. Vayein atam, if you want to see further the difference between tzemer
wool on the one hand and pishtan, bishel pishtan, whether it's flax or anything else. So ayin hata'am bipri megodim. You can go ahead and see the pri megodim, which is a perish on the Shulchan Aruch's perish of the Magen Avraham, which in Yirtzeh Hashem we will see in the second time that we take care of this. We will have to investigate the original sources, the Bavli, the Yerushalmi, and I will also in Yirtzeh Hashem include the pri megodim. We go back to the Shulchan Aruch, Halacha Gimel, Seif Gimel. The question, what is the earliest time that I start making